This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. And today it's just Travis and I. I'm Levi. And we're going to be talking about a really weird word, contentment. And we would probably all say, if somebody asks, are you content? The proper answer is, oh, of course I am. And yet, I don't know about you, Travis, but I struggle with the concept of it because I have desires, right? Like, is it wrong for me to desire? Like, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't mind having a new truck.
Amen. I say a little prayer every time that mine will start and get me to where,
like,
I need to go.
Ones that you can't see through the floorboards onto the road and you're not getting splashed during the rain. Ours aren't actually that bad, but like there are like desires I have, and I'm like, is that wrong? And yet the scriptures say in another place, like, that he will give you the desires of your heart. And I'm like, so it can't be that. But Paul says this really weird thing in Philippians 4:12, and he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And you kind of go, okay, give it to me. Give me the secret sauce here. Well, how do you do this whole thing? And I think people have taken that verse at times and they have made it out to be something that it's not. And I think they're well-meaning. But I was talking to a person who was living single and they really wanted to be married. And they said that someone said, you'll meet someone once you're truly content with where you are now. I think they meant well by that statement, but I'm not really sure that that's true. It's kind of like saying, oh, you're really sick and throwing up on the couch. You'll be good when you're content where you're at. Right? Like, it's right. Like... that doesn't seem to make sense. It's almost like an impossibility. Like, I'm never going to be okay with sitting on the couch and puking. Like, I desire to feel well. And there are desires that I have, and I don't know, you probably have, that are there, but does that make us discontent?
Oh, that's a good question. Because when my mind goes to the word content, I automatically think of, like, you know, you just got done eating a big meal, whether it's Thanksgiving or you had, you know, a bunch of ribs or pulled pork off the smoker. And like, you just sit back after that and you're like, you feel satisfied. And that's what's interesting when Paul talks about this, because you look at that verse and like, he's gone through all these hardships. He's been whipped. He's been put in jail. Now, I think in this portion, he's in house arrest, isn't he?
Actually, I think he has everything he needs. He's not asking for anything at this point.
But he's gone through all this struggle, right? And so he's like, well, I've figured out this secret sauce. Like, I can be content in all things because of Christ who gives me strength. And that's that famous passage that we hear and we take out of context all the time.
Right.
But I'm sure he doesn't desire to be whipped and thrown in prison and like, but we go back to this idea of like contentment in our minds, and it's like this feeling of being satisfied, and that's not what he's saying at all. Like, he's not satisfied in his circumstances or his situation, but he's satisfied through his Savior.
Well, I think when we think that if we're just get out of the circumstance, then it'll be, I will be my true self.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and, you know, if we only didn't have to move, or if we lived closer to our parents or farther away. If we had a bigger house with more closets and storage so we could organize, that's really why we're messy and discontent. And if we only had more money, if our spouse didn't do whatever they do, right? Like, then it would be good. And if I could just get to that stage, like if I could just get to retirement, then I would be content. And I think that's the false idea. It's a false idea to think that it's our circumstances that are actually causing the issue. We think that circumstances are actually providing contentment.
Yeah.
And I think that's problematic. And I don't think that's what he's saying in this passage. Because I think that's what you're saying too, is like, he's not like, woo-woo, yeah, shipwrecked again.
They're going to throw rocks at me. I'm feeling good.
Yeah. Watch me dance. I get new dance moves every time. Like, it's not that, but just being out of that circumstance isn't going to provide contentment. And I think what he, in that 13th verse, because that's Philippians 4:12, he actually does give you, he does give you the secret sauce. He says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength, which is on every young Christian man's football shoe or somewhere, yep, right? Like, yep, you probably wrote it on yours. But I think it's different than what we think. Yes, God does give us strength in the midst of the storm or in the midst of the good times. He's giving us strength. But contentment looks like being honest about what we want, but trusting that God is not withholding his best from us.
Mm-hmm.
Because he tells us that I'm going to test your faith, and it's going to feel like a pressure cooker, and it's going to produce something in you. There's no other way to produce it. It's kind of like, did you guys have to do two-a-days when you were in football?
Yeah.
It produced something, right? But it was a struggle. It was a pressuring. It was probably misery at some level. You're probably in the morning going, doing your practice, taking some ibuprofen in the afternoon, mm-hmm, and then going back and doing it again, right? Yep. Is that a fair assumption, yep, in all of that?
That is correct.
Yeah. But it produced something in you in the midst of that. I think where we get caught up is not that we have desires, because I don't think this side of heaven, I'm not sure that I'm not going to have desires. I think I'm created to have desires, right? I'm created, yeah, created for God, to worship him. I desire him first and foremost. But then he also created a world that's pretty awesome. It's a wonderful world that we live in, and it's pretty awesome. And I desire some of the things that are in it. Now, I don't place my contentment in those things or getting those things. And Philippians 4:8, it gives us some practical ways of not really separating these two things, but putting these two things really together. Fix our thoughts on godly things. And you're like, oh gosh, religion. I don't know if that's going to work. But like, what is good around you? What is pure? What is lovely? What is beautiful? You fix your eyes on those things. Like, I think, always think of back to the people in that they had to wander around the desert for 40 years. And they were complainers, just like me. They like to complain about things. But there were some really incredible things happening.
Oh, yeah.
Like, whoa.
Sandals, clothes not wearing out.
Yeah.
Food falling from the sky.
Like, they got Jordans and they never wore out. They got sandal Jordans. Like, they're awesome. And they're cruising around, and God allows them to never wear out. They had food every day. And we don't really know what manna is, but it was like a sweet, delicious treat with all the calories that you needed. And obviously, we get sick of things if we eat it over and over again. But I don't know. There are some things I could eat over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking just manna is probably one of those. Like, it's probably pretty delicious. In their circumstances were caused by them not being honest and trusting that God is not withholding his best from them. As they were walking through to go to the promised land, they were afraid that God was not with them, and he was. And they didn't trust that God was going to really give them this land that he had promised them. And so it always, in our contentment, always rolls back to that midst of it. It doesn't mean that if you're sick puking on the couch, that you don't want to, I have a desire to not be puking on the, yeah, couch, right?
Yeah.
I think that there's more to this contentment than what we want to, like, we want to believe in that, like, oh, I shouldn't have suffering. Well, that's not true. That's not true. The world is broken mm-hmm. because of sin. Jesus came. The good news of Jesus Christ is that he came to repair our relationship with God. But this world, the mar of sin is still here and we have suffering. That God always wants me to be happy. That's not actually in the scripture.
I haven't read that anywhere.
he actually says, you know, I want you to be holy, which is sometimes a really difficult thing to do. Like I always think of the prophets. Those dudes were crazy. You know, like God says, you're going to sit on your side naked for like a year and you're going to eat like really gross things as you're doing this. And it's going to model what I want the people to know. And I'm like, I don't know.
Sounds horrible.
That sounds not great, right? Like it sounds kind of like suffering. You see Paul, as we've mentioned, suffering. You see all of the apostles suffering in different ways. Like John is boiled alive and lives. And then because they can't kill him, they throw him out on a deserted island by himself. it just seems like, man. But what I think Paul also says, and in Peter, he says, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And you go, oh, that's a hope verse. That's mm-hmm. In the midst of whatever you're going through, that's a hope verse.
Yeah. And our understanding of time is different than God's time, right? Like he talks about our life is just a vapor, a mist that's going to evaporate like the dew in the morning. And sometimes we get into situations where we experience trials and suffering and it does feel like it's forever, right? But when we know that there's an eternal God who's got an eternity plan for us, like that starts to shift your thinking. And I think that's what Paul is getting at here, because my desires, like if I want more money or a nicer truck, temporary. Like my money's right. Gonna run out. My truck's gonna up here. It's gonna get rusty pretty quick, and yep. Then I'll be Fred Flintstoning the brakes again.
But well, that, you can't depend on that, right? To be, right? Like, right. But it is nice when you get a new truck.
Yeah, but those desires, I mean, mine are never gonna be fulfilled completely because it's the money that's gonna go away. The food's gonna pass through. All that stuff. And I think what's super interesting here is that when Paul talks about in verse 11, you know, he's like, I learned to be content. So it's something that is a learned behavior. And then he says, whatever the circumstances. So our circumstances often drive our feelings of contentment, right? Yep. And then you jumped back up to verse 8 when he talks about, think about these things that are noble, that are pure, that are good, that are admirable. That are excellent and praiseworthy. And that made me think of Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Like, it's a mindset thing. It's a heart perspective thing. When we understand, like, sometimes God allows suffering in our lives as a trial of those, like, crucible moments. And I think we've talked about here, I've talked about it in youth group, like, when you're mining for gold, like, to purify that gold, it goes into a crucible in a fiery furnace of like 2100 degrees and it burns off the impurities. Scriptures talk about us being refined by the refiner's fire. Like those, I don't know about you, but I'm not getting too close to 2000 degree furnace. Like,
no,
I like the hair on my knuckles and my eyebrows better than that. But those moments when we view them as such as like a refining moment or season, I think that's what Paul's talking about, is he's changing his perspective and like, this is God using these things for good. He's giving me strength through all of these things to come into a deeper, more connected relationship with him, to experience his love even more.
And to experience his world in proper relationship, sure. Right? Yeah. Like, it gives me the ability to love my neighbor when I'm not feeling sorry for myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, and so I think the hard part in oftentimes God turns our kingdoms in our mind, or what we think a kingdom is, upside down. And you know, I think it was Elizabeth Browning who said, God's gifts put man's best dreams to shame.
Hmm.
And I think like trusting that God he's at work in this world. He's at work in you. He's changing you. He's molding you. You are the clay, and he's the potter, and he's working these things for your good. And so if you start to think about those, some of the situations, like, I don't like being sick. I don't like people being mad at me. I don't like that, whatever that may be. I don't always love my circumstances. But in the midst of that, how am I trusting God? How could this be refining to me? And the reality is God is going to come back and he's going to make all things right. Even those things that don't seem right, he promises that he's going to do that. And I want to trust that. That is a difficult thing to do. But I think we fix our thoughts on the things that are godly. We remember what God has already done. Psalms talks about that all through the scriptures. He already did some incredible things. He came for us through the person of Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us so that we may have a relationship with him. And I think that we talked about this idea of lamenting versus complaining. Like, I don't think it's wrong to go, God, here's where I'm at. This stinks. I don't like this, but I still trust you in the midst of this. Instead of telling God he's not sufficient, is believing and trusting that God is sufficient, even in our worst of days.
Yeah, I was talking with somebody, and she's been going through some health stuff and came across a devotion article by this gal who was lost her sight because of illness, was blind, and then came down with cancer. And she had this kind of treatise written out about these 35 ways that even in the midst of suffering, how you can still see God's goodness. And to have somebody that's going through something like that speak those kind of words is just kind of like, wow, right?
Yeah.
I would be like, nope, Lord, you've forsaken me and you've turned your face from me and abandoned me. But that just, like, is that renewing of your mind, that kind of recentering your focus on not you. I think when we don't get our desires met and our circumstances stink, like, we focus in ourselves and we start to wallow. And that's not what Paul is talking about here. He's like, look at the good things. There's beauty in God's creation, even though we live in a broken world. Like, the sun came up this morning and it was beautiful. You know, the sunsets are beautiful. The animals, the nature, all of it. Like, those are God's fingerprints. And I'm going to forget what passage it is that talks about, like, God takes care of the sparrows. He feeds them. He's mindful of them. He puts flowers in the fields and clothes them. How much more does he love you?
Well, yeah, because I think what you're saying is like, sometimes our desires lead to worry.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I want this, or I need this, or God, how is this going to happen? And sometimes it's our circumstances are created by us. Sometimes it's created by the world in which we live. We get worried, and he says, be anxious about nothing.
Yeah.
Don't be anxious about it. I got it. But you pray about it. And I think it's the only way that we can actually be content with desire.
Yeah.
Is that. But I also don't think desire is wrong.
No.
Desire is it's a longing of our heart toward the flourishing. The Jewish people called it shalom. And call it shalom. It's the flourishing of. We desire goodness. And why do we desire goodness? Because God is good. Jesus says that. Why do you call me good? Only God is good. And he's revealing that he is God, but he's also recognizing that all goodness is found in the very character of who God is.
And that's what Paul is talking about here. That's where Paul is saying,
right? Yeah.
I'm thinking of this dude that I met a number of years ago. We were doing like kind of a soup kitchen meal thing that our church would do once a week. And there was this guy, Linwood, that came in down on his luck, like struggling. But this guy had the most joy of anybody that I've ever met and had literally nothing left. And I was talking to him, eating with him, and he's like, you know what? In this thing right here that Paul's talking about, like, in all these things, like, I know I've got earthly struggles, but I know that my Heavenly Father loves me and he's with me through this and it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you go on a mission trip somewhere to a different country, a third world country, oftentimes, like, why are they happier than us?
Yeah.
Why is this? Like, I don't understand. And some of it is just like a contentment that they have that we desire. And they understand how to enjoy the smaller things in life. They understand the goodness of the things around them, and they focus on those things instead of the things that are wrong and bad and evil and whatever. And you know, God cares about our deepest desires. And even in the middle, though, of our wanting, I think something has to change. And it's our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And what has to change is that we do trust God, that we trust that we're can be honest with Him about our desires, about what we want, but we trust that God is not withholding His best from us. And if we don't do that, I don't think contentment is actually possible. But God is the one who gives us the strength to do all things in and through Him. And so that is good news you can use. And so wrestle with it. Enjoy it today as you have desires, but trust the God who is the giver of all good things because He is good. And trust in the one that He sent, and call upon His name today. And His name is Jesus. And you will be saved. You will have the goodness of God in you.
Thanks for joining us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to travis@evangelup.org. Or if you would like to catch up on any of the previous episodes on Good News You Can Use of Pearls and Swine, you can search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform, or find those at our website, evangelup.org.